I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, New International Version. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 19. The Mystery of Christ, the True Location. Scriptures. For there is a disannulling of a foregoing commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect, and a bringing in thereupon of a better hope, through which we draw nigh unto God, and inasmuch as it is not without the taking of an oath. For they indeed have been made priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him that saith of him, the Lord swear, and will not repent himself, thou art a priest forever. By so much also hath Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. And they indeed have been made priests in many number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appointed men high priests, having infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was after the law, appointed a son, perfected forevermore. Hebrews 7:19 to 28, American Standard Version. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:54 to 60. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased their joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor thou hast broken, as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, and fuel for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in pride and in stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. Therefore Jehovah will set up on high against him the adversaries of Rezin, and will stir up his enemies, the Syrians before, and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Yet the people have not turned unto him that smote them, neither have they sought Jehovah of hosts. Therefore Jehovah will cut off from Israel head and tail, palm, branch, and rush, in one day. The elder and the honorable man, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For they that lead this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will not rejoice over the young men, neither will he have compassion on the fatherless and widows, for every one is profane and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it devoureth the briars and thorns. Yea, it kindleth upon the thickets of the forest, and they roll upward in a column of smoke. Through the wrath of Jehovah of hosts is the land burnt up, and the people are as the fuel of fire. No man spareth his brother, and one shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Isaiah 9:3-21. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. And Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. He had upon him the vesture of royal purple, with a violet-colored garment upon his chest, and across him the royal purple robe of his resurrection power. Upon his chest was emblazoned a gold cross, and he stood, even by the right-hand arm of the throne, ever living, to make intercession for us. End vision. Second vision. I beheld Jesus seated upon the throne, whereas before he stood beside it. He was holding cords or lines in his right hand, which were lines of his spirit that proceeded out from his right hand. Each line or cord went to the spirit of an overcomer. As many lines or cords as there was overcomers in the earth in present time. I saw that these cords represented the unity of the spirit that exists between they that overcome and Jesus, the first overcomer. He holds all these cords in his hand, holding our souls in life and suffering not our feet to be moved. I saw then that as he held them, fire proceeded out of his hand and down each cord into the hearts of they that overcame, so that they too were ignited with the fire that came out of his hand, which fire was the fire of the Ancient of Days, who did sit upon the throne of eternity, and who was one with Jesus. Jesus and the Ancient of Days looked identical and as one person upon the throne set in heaven. These who were thus ignited by the Lord were not only cleansed of the mystery of iniquity, but they became ministers of the fire of God in the earth, and both consume and destroy all that is based in iniquity in the earth, none exempt. Nothing in the earth was not in time enveloped in the fire that was proceeding through the lives of the overcomers who were ignited in this holy fire to cleanse, restore, and make new. End vision. End two visions. Beginning now in the next section of our study on Epistle Mysteries, this one being the first one concerning the mystery of Christ. In realizing the importance of this study, it became clear to me by revelation from the Holy Spirit that this understanding of the true location of Jesus is, for the most part, one of the greatest contributing factors to the confusion of our day. Because the Lord's people, for the most part, do not understand the true location of Jesus right now, at this present moment, the result has become catastrophic. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there would be an abomination that makes desolate standing in the holy place, an echo of words from both the prophet Daniel and Jesus himself. In the mystery of Christ, I hope to clear up that confusion, give a true identity of heart to heart, your heart with the heart of the shepherd, and also a simple acknowledgement of your own place in his overall plan for the ages. There are 9 epistle mysteries that can be easily associated or blended with this study. The task is paramount to unveiling the entire plan of God in one, but it is necessary that these studies be laid out as the Holy Spirit would give directive. The true location of Jesus through the study of the mystery of Christ must be done separate in spite of the ability to study these as a part of the whole. For example, in the mystery of God, that full revelation of God can be summed up by seeing God in fullness with unbounded measure in Jesus. Colossians 2:1-3 says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." To separate the two is an almost impossible task, but in this hour of the unveiling of his kingdom, the task is necessary to give us a sure and a steadfast hope for his appearing, then coming unto those who are called his brethren. There is another mystery which ties in very powerfully with this one. It is called the mystery of the indwelling Christ, from Colossians 1:24-29. concerning the indwelling Christ, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Again, that mystery is one of the sore points in the body of God's people today because of horrible ignorance. For most do not recognize or know the Spirit that speaks in the heart as being truly the Lord, and once again, we are humbled to have an abominable desolation in us, rather than the fullness of his love and grace by the Holy Spirit. It is in these misunderstandings of the true location of Jesus that the point is made to grieve the Holy Spirit in such a way that no restoration for the present becomes possible. The one who holds Christ in an improper view ends up being part of the judgment of God in general upon the nations and denominations of the earth, rather than being part of the army of the Lord, which at this time has his full concentration. The true story of victory and the ability to walk in the power of the Spirit has been dashed upon the rocks of ignorance and unbelief in our day because of this misrepresentation of Jesus. Because his visage remains marred more than any man's, we have a disruptive faith, a faith that holds no hope for the common masses. We have a faith in Christian circles that is based on escapism and fear rather than the triumphant establishment of his eternal kingdom in the earth and throughout the cosmos. Christianity has failed miserably at representing the power of his resurrection because they have not understood the true location of Jesus. For the overcomer, these series of studies in the mystery of Christ will be written, all to prepare them to rule over all the nations of the earth with a rod of iron, to dash, as it were, men's perceptions and unbelief to pieces so that they can believe and they can have a clear view of Jesus in his power and resurrection glory. To you, dear overcomer, is this part of the study written, all so you can know where Jesus is right now. And because you will know it, you will rejoice with unspeakable joy at seeing him in whom there is life and in whom death has been completely vanquished. The first fact to realize is coupled with the second fact, which will soon be actualized. And that is that to see Jesus is to see God. And it is Jesus who is coming again, not to escape us from the earth, but to remove death from us. We see Jesus in the history. Now we see him in the mystery. That is, the very same Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that there was nothing in his person that was not God. Away with doctrines about possible shortcomings that he had. He was the sinless Son, the first Son of God with no guile, the first Son of God who displayed all the fullness of God in his body. That display came in two parts. First, God was seen in him unbounded and without any measure, working miracles and the power of resurrection life while Jesus did his earthly ministry. Secondly, God is seen in Jesus unbounded and without any measure in his body raised from the dead. And this entire process of God being seen in the new body raised from the dead is about to be repeated first in history, then in the mystery. It is going to be repeated in the company of overcomers. Make no mistake about it. The company of overcomers will receive new bodies which the Lord will fashion like his body, raised out of the tomb. As Jesus was raised, so too will you be raised. It is part of the workings of this hour that he will raise from the dead those who have been lying dormant, those who have fallen into the ditch, who have come to the place of having no hope or life in this present world. These are the overcomers. It may be that a person over there who is destitute or naked, and maybe that person here who is high in business and in wealth, it matters not. These people who will be raised as he was raised are people of a holy calling. And it is the calling that has separated them, even if they are busy in this world, from all others. It is a calling not only to bear the marks of the cross as Jesus bore them, but to also bear the crown of the overcomer as Jesus bears it. Progressively, this is happening, and we are near the place of awakening in his very likeness. The first resurrection is the next order of business in the council of the mystery of Christ. There is in the company of those who are part of sonship circles a great deception taking place. And that deception is very simple to see if one is not deceived by it, but hard to see if one is. The deception is this: I am Christ. The thought is taken from scriptures but twisted by spiritual pride and the ability the carnal mind has to mask itself in religious effort. Again, the deception is, I am Christ. The Word of God says we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The carnal mind took it one step further and said we are Christ of his Christ. In other words, the carnal mind, lifting itself up in pride, acknowledged who it is as a part of the body of Christ. And because it is a part of the body of Christ, then it must be Christ. This very subtle deception is part and parcel of the abomination making desolate, standing in the holy place. It is, in fact, that sure sign of his coming. For sonship, people have begun to worship the Christ standing in the holy place when it is not Christ at all. But the one that imitates the true, the one who masks itself as Christ but is not the Christ, it is the false feast of dedication, the false feast of purity, that part which says it is of the church when in fact the church is not part of it. If you see this Christ and are convinced of it, then you have been deceived by it. Jesus in this equation was somehow moved out of the history, out of the mystery, and into your delusion. Allow me to repeat that. Jesus in this equation, and what was the equation? Christ standing in the holy place when it's not Christ. Jesus in this equation was somehow moved out of the history, out of the mystery, and into your delusion. And because the true Jesus cannot be in delusion, then it must be a false delusion indeed. In sonship circles, we have a worship of Jesus happening, and it is not Jesus at all, but this one who stands as an abomination, a false Jesus, causing many to fall away and not be counted right due to ignorance. The ability to overcome this false Jesus is very simple. Simply see where Jesus is located right now by faith. I must digress a bit here. I plan to show you Jesus in the mystery of the indwelling Christ, but not before we see him as the Christ of God. I'll say that again. I plan to show you Jesus in the mystery of the indwelling Christ, but not before we see him as the Christ of God. For Christ cannot dwell in your hearts by faith if it were not for the fact that God set him at his own right hand. And that place, at the very right hand of God, is the only place where Jesus is. He is exalted above all other things, given a name above every name, and he is there expecting until his enemies are made his footstool, the last enemy being death itself. Vision. I beheld Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He remained there, but at the same time, by his glorified body, he was able to appear and move through the whole of creation at will. He could appear and move whenever he wanted at any time. However, he remained, regardless of this ability, at the right hand of God, even while he moved through all of creation. End vision. How vitally important to overcoming this is, that we recognize that Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God. He is not us. We are not the Christ. He alone is Christ. He alone has been given this name above every name. There is nothing about him that we are except in that identity which is still in development in us. The deception of our day is the crass statement that it is all done, that there is nothing in us that is outside of us, that he which was exalted by God is somehow us in his stead. Before you think you don't believe this way, examine your heart and ask yourself if you are lifting your hands in worship to him alone that is the true location of where he is. For Jesus is the only one at the right hand of God. No one else is there. And no one will be there until the reward is given to those who overcame. And it is there in heaven, at the right hand of God, that Jesus will remain until the very point of the first resurrection. Only then will we see him in us. Again, the deception of this hour is stating who we are as Christ, when Christ alone still holds that title. May we, in our continuing closet of prayer, hold him in the highest place and ourselves in the lowest place. In my doctrine, I believe that those who were invited to be part of the army of the Lord and who partake in the first resurrection are those who took the lowest seat, the humblest of places, which served rather than ruled, who became nothing that he might remain everything, who did not count their lives dear unto themselves, but gave themselves up for his life instead, who did not condemn mankind, but spoke words of comfort and exhortation and love, because they knew that Christ would restore all things. These are the overcomers, those who are most like Jesus was, who displayed the image of God, but did not try to be God. These are the ones in whom the mystery of Christ will first be understood and shown and given as a great and mighty resurrection for all the rest of creation. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.